Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
We should maybe get to the point on what the hell Police Knots is.
Mankind creates its first space station. They decide to put five policemen up there. One of them is in an accident, never to be found again until his cryo ball, which was with him, is miraculously discovered.
It's all about how a guy from 2010 is struggling to adapt to the year 2040. So he remembers the good old days when everybody smoked cigarettes, like regular old cigarettes, and just puff, puff, puff. These jerk-offs are out here smoking non-combustible cigarettes like wieners.
That's a Kojima character detail right there.
Yeah.
If only he swallowed a carton of cigarettes in 2010 and then regurgitated it in 2045. Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
Some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor. Thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it. Go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, but just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power.
Oh, I have a bad feeling about this.
Hey, everybody, we're back. And guess what we're talking about? We're talking about Abzu. That's right, Abzu. You don't know what Abzu is? Oh, boy. Are you in for a treat? Who's with me to talk about Abzu?
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Jeff.
Kyle
the Electric Lights. Viking, whatever.
Yeah. We're waiting for the second half. Okay, let's...
This game was nominated by... Shape on Stitcher. So remember, you give us a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher and you nominate a game, we will eventually have to get to it and we won't be able to avoid it.
Do we have like a time frame there? Like, has this been a year since A Certain Shape has made the nomination, got angry and stopped listening?
Yeah, they probably, got really pissed about like where we put, you know, Mist or something and... Yeah, now they don't listen anymore. But
hey, but, you're welcome.
The point is we will get to your game. If you nominate it that way, we have to do it.
And believe us, there are a handful of games there that we're like, oh, you sacks of crap. How dare you put this game in the have to do's? Yeah. Oh, boy.
Let's
just get into it.
Abzu, I don't think it's necessarily one of those games, though.
So
it was developed by Giant Squid. Which is a developer and not just a cephalopod.
You'd think, like, if they obviously, like, maybe they've made that name because they were making Abzu. Like, I don't know, like, is their next game going to be water-based as well, or are they going to make a new name?
I don't know. I just like imagining a squid, typing away on there.
Can I point out that the giant squid in this game is not called Giant Squid? I think it has, like, a proper name, I believe, so.
Yeah. Giant Squid's a proper name.
Indeed.
I mean, isn't it just like kind of like
that's a
giant
species? Yeah.
Is it a species or is it like just kind of like a bunch of them that they're like?
Whoa, that's
big.
A big ass squid. No, that you're thinking of big ass squid.
Oh,
big ass squid is not a proper noun.
No, that's all we have down here.
That could be any kind of squid as long as it's big ass.
This one was
big ass, I guess.
published by 505 Games. I really want to say the 505 Games because they're a developer that publish absolute crap.
Yep.
One of my favorite developers because
yeah,
it's a 505 Games.
Up there with kind of the Deep Silvers and the Focus Homes and THQ Nordic's kind of taking some of that turf now.
Yeah.
Just really throwing it at the wall there.
I love that.
Not to say that this is one of those.
But yeah, it sounds like we hate this game. I don't think we do. it was first released for the personal computer on that's the way I read it, though.
Okay.
August 2nd, 2016 in the United States of America.
God damn, this game is 2 years old? I did not realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Holy
crap. I think it's just because it's had a weird kind of long port. Like, it just came out on the Switch and has been kind of in ads recently.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I got up my PlayStation 4. I held up two fingers. I'm sorry, everyone.
Yeah. That's good.
It's not for the PlayStation 2.
No.
It's not.
You would know it was on the PlayStation 2 if it looked like this television had been smeared with Vaseline.
Yeah.
It's a game about scuba diving, Jeff.
Yes.
Scuba? Yeah, it is, I guess.
It's about scuba diving, plus you've got these like kind of like Gradius style options that swim along with you.
Oh man, if you could shoot the fish, like King of Fish or whatever that game is called.
what if it was just this game?
Turns into like a messed up Herodias clone.
Right. It's just Abzu. You're swimming through gorgeous underwater environments, meaning incredible creatures of ocean life, and you just blast the crap out of them.
I mean,
with like your cutting laser and your ripple gun.
To be fair, that is basically like the meta text of this game, is that kind of happened, I guess.
Yeah, there's a little bit of it wakes up about halfway and it's like, oh crap, we need to put a plot in here that's meaningful. Like almost exactly on the halfway point, the game kind of like feels like it realizes that it was supposed to have more than pretty fish, but I know we are jumping ahead of ourselves.
So what happened was the developers made half of this game, then replayed Journey again, and we're like, oh, right, Journey has sort of this, like, overarching narrative. We have to put one of those in. How about Sumeria? Okay, good. Yeah, let's do that. Very good. Kill the shark.
Jeff is feeling very mean tonight, the listeners, just so you know.
I mean, the meanest, most reductive thing you can say about this game is that it is just kind of an inferior version of Journey. I think that's being overly reductive.
It is a
fair read of this game.
If you like underwater stuff, it is already probably better than Journey, because I'm confident that none of Journey takes place deep underwater. Even surface level water, I believe.
And the game works with that scenario in aesthetically interesting ways. It's not strictly a scuba diving game, the same way that Echo the Dolphin is not strictly a water-dwelling mammal game, you know?
See how you're going to finish that sentence, yeah.
I know, I'm pushing boundaries all the time. That's what I do here.
Can I point out that you call it a scuba diving game? I need to confirm that you never need to source any air. Like, this game
deliberately
has no... Jeff, have you sprung a leak?
Jeff is washing his hands.
Sorry about that little spray noise.
Sounded like, so I don't know if you're trying to like do an air sound. Like I said, that you don't have to get air. You're like, shh.
Hold on, I've got to deflate this air mattress.
but, always doing that.
Like, the reason I say that is there are very strictly few sort of traditional game elements. You know, you don't have to go find air. You don't have a lot of, there are a handful of like, I'm going to put them in inverted sort of speech, like, puzzles, because they're not really supposed to tax you in any way, but it's very much like a underwater tour game, essentially. But you know, you go from you get to swim through gorgeous water, like full of animals that are realistic-ish, but obviously have both a cartoony sort of polygon, like slightly not realistic polygon look, alongside them kind of being kind of brighter and nicer than they might otherwise be.
It has a very nice presentation with a kind of blown out lighting system kind of cast over everything in the game. But the single best part of this game is the visuals, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the main reason to play it. And and I do think playing it is still superior to watching someone play it, because when you're playing it yourself, you could choose what you look at.
Yes.
And in a game where everything is gorgeous, that's a big deal. So here's my thing. It's like, I don't know what else you can say about it, because is there stuff you do later on in the game that I just didn't get around to, or
Well, okay, so the game is not especially long. It's more, you will have to get pretentious about it and approach it more like a, you know, like a long play album or something. Like, it's very clearly intended
so
to be.
So you take an absolutely Homeric bong hit, sit down in
one.
A beanbag chair.
Like, that is definitely superior.
Up.
Like, you want to be at least a little weightless when you're in this, you know, just like kind of.
Yeah.
You don't want to feel the crushing, like, force of gravity on you when you're floating around underwater.
I mean, this it is a game where one of the very scant few mechanics in it are you approach points in the sort of large aquatic environments you can swim around through, and your player avatar will just sit in a meditative state. And the camera will pan around and look at sea life. And that is all that is going on. That is one of the few actual mechanical parts of this game.
It'll also tell
turn
you
it into
name.
A screensaver. Which, it, again, if you enjoy that sort of thing, this is just smear it on you. It's perfect.
I do.
So, like, I can't poo-poo people for enjoying. Like, if you enjoy something like Aquanaut's Holiday or Endless Ocean, this is going to be for you. Like, it is absolutely that.
It's especially
the hell
better
out of
if
flying
you,
toasters, man.
Real, yeah, like if you really don't want to have like, because the game's not going to game over you or anything. It's a very peaceful experience like that. There's a little bit of obviously a bit of like, oh crap, we need to put in like stuff towards the end, where you have to kind of actively do some things, and it takes a little bit of a shift from the explorer, like some large-ish hubs to a more. The game is quite strictly linear. Like, let me just make that clear.
Yes.
Hub, linear, hub, linear, hub, linear. Like, that is the structure of the game. But, yeah, like, there's, like, kind of, like, the very last act of the game as such is where the music starts getting really stringy and is... I don't know. I don't have, like, string instruments in my mouth and I have no tune or melody. Everyone knows this. But...
like, I always wondered, like, when I was looking at this, I'm thinking, like, was this originally intended to be, like, for the Oculus Rift or something? And they're like,
it's
oh,
really
crap.
Frustrating to me.
Yeah. That's never going to come out. Like, what are we going to do?
Like, I'm looking at this game, right? And, like, so I have recently picked up a PlayStation VR. I did that because of your American holiday sales. And even in Australia, they're like, oh, crap,
yeah,
Americans
welcome,
are selling
pal.
Things cheap.
Yeah. yeah.
So we just sell things cheap.
America sucks, but I love your cheap shit.
No, I didn't buy it from you. I bought it from here locally. I went to a shop and they're like, oh, mate, you don't have a case. Have a freaking,
vis-a-vis the culture, you're welcome, Cap.
No.
Yeah.
I like Halloween, so I'm happy to absorb that. I'll take that, you know, all up inside. But, the point is, I picked up that and I'm like, I really hope this exploring fish looking at game has VR. And it's like, no. Not even a little bit. Like, it's not available in VR on the PlayStation VR. It's not available on the computer VR. There's no way to explore this game in VR, which is
crappy, because that's like, this is the thing that the like early 90s promised us VR would accomplish.
Yeah,
right.
It didn't say any, like, it was like there's no Dactyl Nightmare in those. In
I
those
so want Dactyl
right?
Nightmare ported to everything. Why is it not available?
Yeah, I don't know, but this is the game that I thought I would get.
Yeah, this is like, and there's some early, like, you know, like, and I am talking about, like, Dactyl Nightmare era stuff, which is, like, literally, you're underwater, and the camera just, like, floats through some underwater crap, and that's, like, literally the VR game, and you just, like, look around.
Yeah, in Dactyl Nightmare, you feel like you're underwater, I remember that much. You feel like you're underwater with, like, a diving belt on, but there's no
air. Yeah,
because
you got, like, the whole, like, harness and suit and
it's
head,
awful.
And it's like, don't move too much, or your neck will snap,
watch out.
Wait,
okay, heads up here. Who here actually played Dactyl Nightmare?
I have seen Dactyl Nightmare, but I've not played it.
I didn't get to play Dactyl Nightmare. I got to sit in one VR machine once, and I couldn't tell you which game it was. Because I would have been like
five. A lot of the
VR
ones I saw had like some kind of battle zone, some kind of tank ish. They're all just kind of like turret games, basically, were the ones I saw growing up.
I do know there is some crazy guy in Australia who is trying to keep the Virtuoso or Virtuosity or whatever the machines were called. Some guy, there's at least one crazy guy in Australia who has several of them who's busy trying to keep the machines running. I don't think they're for public display or use or anything, but I read an article about that guy once.
He's a lunatic. Okay,
I would think so. There are a lot of them in country Australia, just like in country anywhere. There's crazy people out there. Don't go out there.
I did play Dactyl Nightmare in the 90s in a shopping mall. on the top floor of a shopping mall, no less.
That is the,
which is the appropriate place.
Yeah, to that is the natural habitat of Dactyl Nightmare.
It is, and I probably paid a good like probably 12 American 1990s dollars
right, to like, play Dactyl Nightmare. These games didn't take off. If anyone is wondering, right. Like they were it not cheap.
Sucked, yeah. But that was the reality of virtual reality. Where is this game should be what virtual reality is? Because I never want to go scuba diving ever. Because I hate the idea
I've
of being
actually
like
scuba diving once. I've done.
It's terrifying to me. I cannot.
It is actually terrifying because if you've ever been scuba diving, the main thing is that you can literally just die. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
like,
that's why I don't want to do it.
It's like you got like you're underwater and you're like many meters down, like, you know, 20 meters, 30 meters down. And it's like, oh, your air is not working. And it's like, oh, good. Guess I'm just going to like freaking drown then. Like, if
people
you go up,
go
you're like eardrum
diving
out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The like, caving the aspect of the I am so claustrophobic.
You think this game intentionally avoided caving, by the way? Because there is very little, like, small, cramped spaces in this game. Mm-hmm. It's almost all...
I think more because that would be boring.
I mean, I think it's got it both ways. Like, I have done, not, like, really extensive cave exploration, but I live in, like, the Pacific Northwest. We've got a lot of, like, parks up here with some caves you can crawl around in. And I've got
really
a group
fun.
Of friends with some people I know, but I've got some friends who have crawled in those and have had some very different experiences just doing that. And then I've got some friends who will like go in there and hotbox, basically.
Yes!
Like, it's a yes, some lunatics. So, like, I can imagine they just avoided that to prevent people from having like really, really, really horrible experiences with this game.
Yeah.
Because like, if you respond to that poorly, it's like, actual just like
yeah
like it's a really bad scene.
If so. Abzu were a VR game, but it's not.
And
no.
So what I will say, because we are talking about it being a VR game, I want to shift it to one of the reasons that it may not work is the controls in this game are a little odd. You've got like this freedom of like, you know, 6-degree 4D movement, yeah, where you can kind of rotate yourself like full loop around and stuff, but not quite.
As it turns out, it's swimmy surprise being in water and all, and I think they kind of adhere a little too closely to that, considering how fantastical the rest of it is.
You're not just zipping around like it's you know,
because like a lot of games will you know, they'll abstractify swimming a little bit, so when you hold up you just kind of go up ish and you hold down you kind of go down ish left you go left, you know, that kind of.
Is there any game that tries to do, like, so the triggers are, like, your left and right flippers?
See, I wish this game did something like that.
What like I would love...
Modern Warfare 2, but with scuba diving.
The best thing you could do with this game is make it VR and also multiplayer. Because if... And also, like, be, like, fully, like, VR. So, like, you're not using a controller. Like, you're moving your hands around. Because I would love to see somebody just, like, trying to swim with their hands.
What if this game
was just
in Rec
Room,
basically?
Perfectly still. Just somebody, like, flapping
their arms around in the water. Get your two little VR controllers and flop yourself around. Just, like...
Just watch somebody drown to death in virtual reality.
So that's actually a good point, by the way. Not the drowning. This game does not, Journey famously has your two-player helpy mode. Game does not have any sort of, two-player experience at all. Not even, like, one person is the swimming dude, and one person is, like, one of the little drones. It's not in there. There's nothing like that.
One person controls the oxygen supply. They just have, like, a dial. Just crank it down.
So it is kind of a little bit of a solitary experience. It's probably a good thing, given the context of, like, it being an underwater game. I thought that this game constantly teased being a much better game, because I didn't love it, and, you know, between it kind of, like, ooh, this is really gorgeous, and one thing it had a really nasty habit of doing, which I have to bring up, is, there's, like, several moments that I'll describe as dramatic. I don't care if you like the dramatic stuff or if you even think it's dramatic or not. The game clearly wants it to be dramatic, because the music, which is an actual orchestra, I believe, you know, it kicks it up or it goes really quiet and really like, oh, it's sad, isn't it? Look at how sad this is. But every time you get into one of these moments, the game basically rips the controls away from you and says, no, we're doing this. Your character is doing this. And
right. Yeah. It's another Austin Wintory score, the guy who scored Journey and Banner Saga. And I think he's like Virginia, I think. And I think it does do the game kind of a disservice that it's so overwrought at points, and it's like, this is the story we're trying to tell. This is how you were supposed to, just kind of hits you over the head with it, and this otherwise kind of player-driven, very free-form experience of just like, I want to look at the fish.
Because like, Journey, obviously, and we don't, we have to make these comparisons, because the game wants you to basically look at it as a, not necessarily successor, but an equal to Journey, a Journey-type game, like a very clear spin of that game. But whereas Journey obviously was like, what do you think it's about? Kind of tomfoolery. This one is just like, it's about environmentalism. Things are bad. Like that kind
of. It's a giant stingray. Check it out.
That's the cool bit, right? Like,
and that's the best part.
You get to swim stingray through like this really cool, like, ruins, like underwater stuff. And it's like, ooh, this is really cool. But the game doesn't, like, other than like some like bizarre, like prophecy kind of stuff in there, it's like, why are you putting this in there? Like, what is the point of this? Like, just give me the underwater ruins. Just be like, oh, I wonder why this.
I would trade all of that for the ability to just name fish.
Sure. Yeah.
If you just like you tag them, like, not literally, but you just like, that stingray's name is Gerald. That stingray's name is Danny. And then when they float by later on, you're like, oh, there's Gerald.
Yeah. Like,
there's Danny.
Yeah. Like, for real, like, because I think what the other thing, like, the other mechanical parts of this game that are on offer just don't
do it. Like, you can, like, attach yourself to fish and stuff, or, like, big animals, and you can kind of direct them, and you kind of feel like an asshole, because some of them very much, like, fight against your control, so I'm like, okay, let's not do that. The dolphins are way into it, you know, they're dolphins, they'd just be like, yeah, let's go swimming, like, and
attach
stuff.
Yourself to a sea turtle, and he's like, dude, I'm trying to score here, man, pay attention.
Yeah, like, and it goes really slow.
And it's not even, like, to the extent that, like, training a horse in Breath of the Wild or something's life, it's just, like, not particularly fun.
No.
I don't know.
And, like, what I disliked about the dolphin thing, I have to bring this up, because we did mention Echo the Dolphin. I love Echo the Dolphin. You can breach in this game. It's not, like, a major feature, but you can leap out of the water into the air, and it's, you know, that is one of, like, to me, is one of the quintessential underwater go-fast sort of game things, and, you know, what I want is a thrust of a splash. I want, like, lots of sounds and, like, a glorious kind of, like, you know. And then when you dive back in, you get that water rushing past your ears and everything kind of goes.
What Cal is trying to tell you right here is that he's always fantasized about being Free Willy in that scene where Free Willy bursts through his, like, shackles and constraints that humanity has placed on Free Willy. And
see you later, capitalism! Yeah!
There's conventions for people like you, Cal. It's okay.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been to SeaWorld.
that's a great thing to confess.
And there was some unpleasantness. He can never return.
But when you land in the water, it's not very spectacular. It's like the game sounds weak as. Like, all the sounds are sacrificed in the sake of the soundtrack. Like, there's very little atmosphere other than the soundtrack,
You know what it reminds me of is like that Simpsons episode where it's all about, like, the fake Lollapalooza, and then, like, they like somebody ordered the London Symphony Orchestra, possibly while high. Cypress Hill experience, I am looking in your direction. It's like somebody blew a major budget on getting an entire orchestra. Like,
I'm like, I guess like the reveal and, like, your kind of weird breaching ability all tie into the kind of the twist that this game has, which is just, like, worth mentioning in one sentence, that you're not a people. Like, that's the big reveal. It's like, oh my god. Oh,
it's a twist where you're like, huh? Is that?
Like, yeah.
Whatever, it's, I guess.
Like, unearned and irrelevant and just,
you're not,
just, it just made me upset.
You're not a people, but somehow the way that you swim involves using equipment that is exactly the same thing that the people used.
But that's just what the robots look like, man. Yeah. So,
think about it. The context of the game, for all you know, this is a normal people in this game world. Like, there's no establishment. This is anything but regular peoples, maybe.
It doesn't matter. It's a prequel to Splatoon. That's what matters. it's canon. Deal with it.
There's many prequels to Splatoon, by the way. There's at least, like, four or five games.
Kevin Costner's Waterworld.
The lore of the Splatoon games is so good. Sorry. I like how they've even put any effort into it at all.
I love, like, it when there's an excess amount of effort. And this game, that's actually the thing about this game, is it feels like it actually is kind of cutting corners in effort, where I really want the effort to be in those exact places. It's like, yeah, you're looking at exactly what the game wanted you to look at. If you're, you know, this is the bit where you look at this thing, then you're like, ooh, wow, this thing. But everywhere else is a little bit, like, lethargic, a little bit, like, nothing to do in.
If they really wanted to make it interesting, especially if they wanted to go VR and allow you to name the various marine life, which is, I think, imperative.
You're not going
to
let them get away with that, yeah.
But the other thing I would do is cross it with Avenging Spirit, which is you're not a scuba diver. You're just a floating orb that can possess different marine animals.
See, I thought the meditation name would them. Let you become the fish temporarily.
Yeah. It's like
right.
And it's just like, imagine that. Like, how
well, they would have
cool
had to like probably
be?
Do some like stuff with locomotion that they clearly were not willing or
yeah,
able to
I mean,
do.
Your character especially doesn't if you went into VR. Like,
your
you guys know, like,
okay.
You guys know this. Like, it was one of the,
I dislike it. I don't know.
It's okay. Like, it's not good. Like, it's fine. The only thing I really like about it, yeah, is there is like a timing thing where you can generate like extra thrust by like tapping, and he does like a special gold kick, and he goes pretty quick. That's like it. Like, I liked that. That was the main thing. I was really annoyed that even though you have a button that lets you do like that cool like underwater grab your knees kind of thing, which is always fun to do if you're ever actually underwater and just sort of float. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, if you played the game, you'll know. But
no, I can't swim.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Don't do that. you can't actually do any sort of, like, barrels or anything. Like, you can only do, like, loop-de-loops. Like, you can't rotate your character, like, around them. Like, you can't, like, do a barrel roll. And I thought, like, well, you're underwater and you got dolphins and stuff. Why can't you do, like, these fancy, like, moves? But no, you can just kind of do, like, a pirouette kind of flip and that's it.
And
like,
yet that damn rabbit will not shut up.
Let's rank Abzu.
Yeah.
Do a underwater game. Roll. I can't.
I want to pitch a starting area. I think the closest thing to stuff I've mentioned, Aquanauts Holiday, Endless Ocean, etc., would be something like LSD. I think this goes below LSD.
It has to go below LSD because this probably is. The funny thing is, this is less like scuba diving than LSD is like tripping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, LSD is not it's a pretty decent facsimile, I'd imagine, right? Like, it's not. It's, yeah, I don't like, want to do it again. Around. I'll tell you that. That's about as real.
I think this game is like a really, it's a really specific thing that I'm like, if you're not like a huge person into games, but you really like underwatery kind of things, like, you know, if you're like, I like the sea life and stuff, and I don't really care that much for games, this is kind of like exactly the right thing for you. But then the back half of the game is like, and now it's time for the game. And it's like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
Why did this you put that not, in the back half if this was for people who just
yeah,
wanna...
if you're still playing, that was not part of the deal.
Yeah.
Right. You're concerned. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, all right. Where's LSD?
LSD is 279. And that Moving would put on. It above Ninja Gaiden. I think it probably should go below Ninja Gaiden. But, you know, once you get much lower, I do actually think it starts to get a little bit shaky.
Yeah, we don't want to go too nuts, because I think this was really cool.
That stuff like, you know, Clash Demon Head, Knights of the Crystallion, Revolution X, something that I know you
I
like.
I'm not gonna dump all over it. Like, I think
no,
that, like,
I don't. I'm not either. I just think it's like, you
I would
know,
put it,
passable.
I would put it below Far Cry, above Raid on Bungling Bay. And I have no rational justification for that, but that's where I want to put it.
You know why I agree?
Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, I agree because, as I just literally said, it doesn't seem to get either of the two things that it actually wants to do right. If it committed to either one of those in a way that I felt was strong, I would think it would be a much higher game. But as it stands, I'm not going to recommend this to someone who doesn't play games because it starts to become a game. And people that are really into games, I'm like, you're really not going
to
care about this.
Yeah, they won't make it far enough to get to the game. So
I buy that reasoning just as a Far Cry 2 apologist. I think it goes below Far Cry 1.
Okay, so it goes below Far Cry 1. It goes above Raid on Bungling Bay because, I don't know, you can't name the fish.
But it's bonus thing that can play it, and the game is like $5. You can buy it. Like, that's about what I'm saying.
I like it.
Well, what would you pay for it? I had to pay $30 Australian money.
I wouldn't do that.
I know. And I'm like, well, I have to play it. Somebody has to.
It was a PlayStation Plus title at a certain point.
I don't have PlayStation Plus.
505 tax. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, 505. I think 505 bought me so many great PlayStation 2 games from like the simple line. Do it. Rank it.
It goes. I refuse to let this go beyond 28 minutes. Like, it's beyond 29 minutes. It's got to stop now. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Name your fish something good.
This game got 9 out of 10 from everyone. See ya.
Dennis. Dennis is a good fish name.
That's a good fish name.
Spangus.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know, I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.